Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Bill Handel, on demand from KFI AM 640.
Signs include abdominal pain and yellowing of the skin or eyes. Dizziness or fainting may occur upon standing.
Bill Handel.
Side effects include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation.
And now, here's Bill Handel.
KFI, AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And it is a Tuesday morning, May 30th. Great story that we're covering, and I love this one. Thousands are flocking to see the miracle of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, who was exhumed, and the body shows no decay 4 years after her death. It's the old nuns don't rot story, and it's very strong. Also, the U.S. debt ceiling fight, big, big story. Today, it shifts to Congress as the first vote starts. But now it is time for Tech Tuesday with Rich DeMuro.
All the latest on gadgets and stuff with KFI's resident handsome nerd.
It's Tech Tuesday with Rich DeMuro.
And welcome aboard, Rich DeMuro. Rich on Tech every Saturday, 11 to 2 o'clock here on KFI. And his address, social address, at Rich on Tech. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning to you, Bill.
Oh, let's start with AI that we've been talking about for months, and there's a lot more conversation going on. I just read a story about how AI is now being used, and I mean being used a lot in the advertising business, where they're moving full board with AI in terms of graphics, in terms of writing copy. And this story about AI leaders are warning that the tech could be as dangerous as even a pandemic or war. And do you take this as seriously as they do?
I do. In fact, you know, I'm not typically one of these people who is, put the tinfoil on the windows when it comes to stuff. But I do believe that AI has been transformative in the past 6 months or 8 months that we've seen it in a big way. And we are just at the beginning. And so imagine the things that people are going to be using this for. You just said advertising. That just sells us stuff. But imagine when someone is trying to figure out how they can create a robot with an AI brain. And I know it sounds like science fiction, but that's exactly what you can imagine military and governments and pretty much anyone will be interested in creating. And this is a letter, an open letter from the folks at OpenAI. Google DeepMind, Anthropic, these are three big AI companies. They're sending out a new letter today that's warning about this threat to society, basically, and saying that governments need to take this seriously. I don't think anyone has the answer as to what we need to do just yet. It's so early on, but I think we just need to be aware of the fact that this has big, big implications for everyone on this planet.
Has AI been used with nefarious motives yet? Like we know robocalling, we know scams out there, but has AI reached into that world of robocalls or just outright fraud and scams?
Right. Well, we haven't heard any huge reports just yet of people using this for malware, but I think that's where this is headed. So not only can AI target you specifically based on information that it knows about you, but it can also target your computer in a much easier way and a much bigger way than we've seen. And so I think that that's the concern on that front, because like you said, people will be using this for good stuff, but they're also going to be using it for really, really bad stuff. And again, we are just at the beginning. I mean, these texts that we get that you're worried about and I'm worried about are still pretty basic. But imagine when they've collected all of the data that they can find on us online, and then they make that specific for every single person they target. And it's just someone programming a tiny program that uses AI to do that.
I mean, it's really scary stuff when I think about it. So let me do this and ask you a question that I've been thinking about. And that is, when we talk about science fiction, we talk about robotics coming in, we talk about creating the robot, there is the old maxim, here are the rules of robotics, harm no human. Follow number one, and then number three is number one again. Is that a crock?
Well, I mean, look, number one, if you're talking war, then I don't think that that applies, does it?
I don't know.
We build stuff all the time that harms humans.
Yeah, but does AI do that?
Well, and it's going to.
And it's going to develop. So in reality, and obviously I'm being a little hyperbolic and being a little science fiction-y here, but in the end, if AI is going to be used to create new weaponry, create a new ability to deliver those weapons, there's no limit to it.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. And also, you know, you also have to keep in mind that we're talking about rules that apply to people that want to follow rules and governments that want to follow rules. There's a lot of people out there that don't follow the rules. There's a lot of people that will be building this stuff independently and selling this technology to governments, much in the same way that happens today. I think the real danger here is the fact that this development has happened so fast, and we've seen the evolution of AI in so many ways. I mean, if you look at photos, just photos and videos, photo already has just had a huge impact. You know, Adobe last week came out with their solution as to how they're going to use AI, and people are posting pictures online that are just absolutely incredible that they created in a minute. And so now we're going to see the same thing with video. And it just keeps going from there. It just keeps building. And every single company is going to adopt this technology to save money. Every single industry is going to look at it to see how it can affect them and affect us. And then, of course, governments and all this other stuff as well.
Just read an article about students using AI to write papers. It happens instantaneously. And I heard that, and there was a counterpoint that there are AI programs that can see if AI was written to write, though, if AI was used to write those papers. Is there validity to that? Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've got, I got to look it up because it's a tool that you can put in. I almost mentioned this on my radio show. I didn't get to it. I've got to look it up. But there is a tool that for students that write papers, you can literally just pop their paper into this tool. And, you know, it will tell you if the student wrote this or not. And, here it is. Here's the tool. GPT-0. So GPT-0.me, you can take some text, you can paste it in there, and it will tell you if ChatGPT wrote it, if Bard wrote it, if an AI plus a human wrote it. And there are, Bill, at schools across the country right now, people dealing with the fact that students are writing their papers using this, and the students don't care because they know that this is the table stakes for the future, that wow, you're going to get a rough draft of whatever you want, and now it's up to you to kind of make it your own. So in the future, it's going to be not even a big deal that this is happening because we've got to figure out other ways of evaluating human beings.
And how many papers we wrote and sat down night after night. All right, Rich, we still have plenty of stuff to talk about. Boarding passes at the boarding gate. And I just sort of started using my iPhone to do it, although I always press the wrong button and I have to bring it back up. Or I will print out my ticket, my boarding pass at the house on the printer. What's going on with that? Are they even going to allow paper boarding passes anymore?
Well, that's interesting. They haven't totally done away with them, and I'm surprised that I'm actually happy to hear that you still have a printer because a lot of people do not have a printer anymore at home. They either print at work or they just don't have one. And, you know, we've definitely seen the mobile boarding pass. A majority of people use the mobile boarding pass. But interesting article out of Wall Street Journal kind of highlighting the folks who don't want to use a boarding pass on their phone or the airlines, more importantly, that are charging if you need to print one out at the airport. So Breeze Airways, $3 if you want to print a boarding pass. Allegiant Air, $5 if you want to charge, if you want to do a boarding pass, unless you're a member of the military. Spirit and Frontier, you might pay as much as $25 if a customer service rep has to print you a boarding pass. So the moral of the story here, You don't want to be nickel and dimed even more than you already are at the airport, print it out at home, or if you want, use the mobile boarding pass. The thing that I would say, because some people are worried about the mobile boarding pass with the signal in the airport, or if you're in a different country, I typically print mine out if I'm going international, just out of, you know, security and safety reasons. But, you know, for domestic stuff, if you put it in Apple Wallet or Google Wallet, it will work even if you don't have a signal to Wi-Fi or cellular.
It's crazy. I mean, it is completely crazy. So if someone actually has to print it and it takes 2 seconds, but if you go to one of those kiosks and have it printed, you're okay, right?
Oh, even well,
at,
that's
even
that's
at crazy airlines.
Funny you say that. They're actually removing the kiosks that print those. So Alaska Airlines, for example, removing the kiosks that would allow you to self-print at the airport. So the new kiosks they're putting in are simply an iPad that only lets you print your luggage, which, by the way, you are now tagging yourself. So you can print that out for free, but of course you'll pay for the luggage tag. But you know, they won't let you print the boarding pass from those kiosks anymore.
Well, they're just trying to figure out every way to make money. And I'm not exaggerating in terms of using the bathroom. Harrods, you know, the department store in England, when Dodi Dayed's father bought Harrods, they actually were charging a pound to get into the bathroom. You know, a pound coin.
If it's clean, I'll do it. I'm fine with that because a lot of times, you know, these places, they just cut off the bathroom. They say, sorry, no restroom for the public. I have to pay a buck, I mean, I'm fine with that.
$1.50? Yeah, go ahead.
I was looking at airfare yesterday, and the new trend with these airlines, and it's not something that we haven't seen before, but we're seeing more and more of it, is the ultra-cheap airline, where literally you just get a seat, and that's it, and nothing else. I'm talking the one I took to Japan, Zip Air, it was fantastic, but you only got a seat. And everything else, including water bill, was a charge.
But how much did you pay for it, even with the luggage and drinking a bottle of water? I mean, in the end, it had to be a whole lot cheaper anyway.
It was incredibly cheap. In fact, for it was a lie-flat seat, which you would pay, I think it was about $7,000 for a typical airline, and this one was closer to $2,000. And so when you look at these flights, and I get so many emails from people that are looking at flights to Tokyo that see my review come up, and they say, Rich, wait, what's the catch? There's no catch. It's just really inexpensive because you have to be prepared. If you don't bring something on that plane and you're not prepared to order something, then you are going to starve because there is nothing free handed out whatsoever.
Yeah, but when you buy a sandwich, one of the things I did notice that when you buy a sandwich on the airline, it's $8, $9, $10. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better, I think. I look forward to some of the food on the planes. I don't mind it, but here's the thing. So you're paying for it, so it's a little bit better. But it, you know, there are so many levels of flying at this point. I think the fastest growing area, though, are really these airlines that people, I was just looking last night, you could go to Europe on this airline called Norse, and it was like, I think it was $195 from LA to London. $195 for, I think, a one-way ticket on that.
Yeah, but you're not lying flat and you're really next to the person that is next to the person, right?
Well, yes, but here's the thing. They're flying these 787s, these Dreamliners, which are nice planes. I mean, yeah, they're putting a lot of seats in them, but, you know, that's a decent plane to fly across the Atlantic. And also, why not save your money for when you get there? It's not that bad of a deal for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's true. At the end of it, you're 11 hours and you have thrombosis and you're about to die because of a blood clot. Small potatoes.
Small price to pay for the, you know, to see the changing of the guard there.
Yeah, and a blood clot. Let's not forget that. Okay, next week we're going to talk about Apple and some news out there. And of course, Apple being Apple, we have no idea what it really is. But the rumor, what's the rumor?
I like that you preface it with that. Yes, Apple never confirms anything until it's up on stage on June 5th, which is next Monday or this Monday, whatever you want to look at it. This Monday coming up, big event at the Apple headquarters, widely expected to unveil their virtual reality / augmented reality headset. And we have a lot of headsets in the marketplace right now. Of course, this is Apple. They will do things a little bit differently. They will get the developers behind it. It's expected to cost about $3,000. We don't know when it will go on sale or if we will even get to touch this thing, play with it. We don't know. But the reality is this might be one of the biggest launches for Apple in a long time, if this headset is shown off next week.
How do they keep that secret? I mean, you have thousands of people that are in on it, or at least hundreds of people, and for some reason, we're not seeing one that's already been leaked.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been no pictures that I've seen, but there's been a lot of information that we've seen, but it varies. But the reality is, there's a lot of people that stand to make a lot of money on this thing, and they're not going to spill the secrets. It's just people that, you know, may be passing through that get access to some of this data, some of the suppliers over in China. We see a lot of leaks through them. But no matter what, it's rumored to be $3,000. It's rumored to be good, but heavy, but expensive. And the battery will sit on your side instead of on the headphones or the headset itself, because that's the way that some of the other ones do it. And it just became too bulky, apparently, for Apple. But it's not. Apparently, it's not where they want it to be. Like, it's not perfect, but they just need to get this thing out of the gate so that they can start to get people to adopt this technology in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, $3,000. How does that compare with Oculus and other VR headsets?
I mean, the Oculus, you can get an Oculus. They actually raised the price on the Oculus last year. I think it's about $400 now.
Wow.
And then Oculus has a high-end version that is about $1,500. So this is double the price of the most expensive headset out there. But it's Apple. And, you know, they will have adoption, unlike these other headsets, which are good, but they haven't seen the broad adoption that I think Apple, with their stores, people can go in, test them out, try them out, see what they can do, and then, you know, save up for them.
All right, Rich. Thank you, Rich. This Saturday, 11 to 2 o'clock, at Rich on Tech. Have a good one, Rich.
Thanks, Bill.
This is a little bit more serious, and this has to do with vanishing beaches here in California. And this is a story out of the Orange County Register because it deals with Orange County. Newport Beach, for example, some of the priciest coastline homes in the country. And there aren't going to be many beaches left. As a matter of fact, there is a study that just came out, and it was a report released by the United States Geological Survey. And it says by 2100, the modeling that's already been done estimates that 25 to 70% of California's 1,100 miles of coastline may be completely eroded due to sea level rise scenarios. Now, for those people, and we hear these dire predictions all the time, we only have 5 years until the tipping point in terms of climate change. We only have 10 years. By 2030, by 2035, we'll be over the edge and there's nothing can be done about it. I believe we're already there. Moreover, if we aren't already there, we are not going to straighten this out, because fossil fuels still being used by many, many countries around the world, China being one of them, even though they're ahead of us in many of the technologies, India using coal like crazy, and we're talking about, what, 3 billion people of those two countries, and more coal-fired plants are being built every single day in those two countries. And they have and these third world countries have a hell of an argument, because they're saying, wait a minute, you, the United States and other industrialized country, built these huge successful economies on coal. And now you want us not to use coal. And we're striving to have this industrial revolution of our own. We want to reach those levels of industrialization. Good argument. It really is. So what is going on is you have, there was just a meeting, and it had to do with the officials of the Orange County coastline folks. It was a Smart Coast California Policy Summit in Newport Beach. And they're trying just to deal with it. How do you deal with the coastline simply disappearing? Well, heretofore, what they used to do is just bring in sand. Coastline goes, you bring in a ton of sand or tons of sand. But you know what happens? It disappears again, because you have rising sea levels and the ocean goes farther in. And are you ready for this? One of the real answers that they came up with, and boy, I always joked about this, except this is absolutely real. And that is, homes that are along the coast, new homes should be built on stilts. like they do in Louisiana and the Bayou. And you go, well, when we've reached the point when you have a $14 million home in Newport Beach on the water and you raise it, you buy it, and you're going to build a new home, which is the only thing you can do because, of course, there's no land and there are people wealthy enough to do that. Can you imagine this? You can get a permit, but you have to build the home on stilts. I mean, come on. But they're saying this is the U.S. Geological Survey. This is real stuff. At the turn of the century, 2100, you're going to see 70% of the coastline having literally just disappeared. I'm not buying any coastal homes. I've been saying that for a very, very long time. No doubt we've all heard of Airbnb. Have you ever rented from Airbnb? I have. I don't do it anymore because it's just too damn expensive. With all the craziness, I think I'm better off at a hotel. But it's still huge, Airbnb and Vrbo or VRBO, Vrbo. And so we know about that. Now there is an app called Swimply. S-W-I-M-P-L-Y. And what it does is allow homeowners to rent out their pools to strangers. So you own a swimming pool, or someone who doesn't own a swimming pool wants to have a swim party, for example. You know, they're 6-year-old, they're 12-year-old, or just spend an afternoon and you don't want to go to a public pool because public pools are completely disgusting. You know, you just don't know. Well, you do know what's in the water, and there's lots of people there. So a lot of families aren't going to let their kids anywhere near a public pool. So what do you do during the summer? And you don't have a pool. You rent one. You rent the pool. And you rent the pool over there. Let's say even a nicer neighborhood. Nice big pool, great outdoors. And as you can imagine, this is a story out of the Washington Post. Montgomery County in Maryland, a nice upscale county, an area that fairly wealthy people live, is looking at this and saying, hold on, we have to regulate this. And this would be the first county, the first governmental entity in the nation to regulate rental pools. Because this is brand new. People come up with apps all the time, and all of a sudden you're going, where are the laws that deal with this? Because laws always follow technology. Technology is first, and then how to deal with it is second. For example, the huge, far bigger story than this is how we're going to regulate AI. And in front of Congress, the CEO of ChatGPT begged Congress to regulate the industry. He said, you have to regulate this. So on a much lower level, this has to do with renting pools. A Chevy Chase resident who went in front of the city council said, our entire block has been disturbed. It's like having a pool club on the street. And already dozens of pools around Maryland, and this is Montgomery County, the biggest county in Maryland. They've been listed for rent on Swimply, which was launched in 2020 as people sought alternatives to public pools. A lot of them had shut down because of the pandemic. And you look at the successes of apps like Airbnb and Uber. And so you know how much money these people get for renting out their pool? Anywhere from $25 to $100 an hour. So you rent a pool for 4 hours, 3 hours. Okay, there's some money. And of course, it's cash. And what people do is, well, is take advantage of it. Now, I've had some swim parties before, and I'll tell you the danger of this stuff, too. When you have a lot of people, a lot of kids swimming, and you know how many drownings take place in pools full of kids and parents there because no one pays attention? If some kid is drowning at the other end, someone's going to jump in. You're not paying attention because too many kids flopping around. I think I've had 3 pool parties at my house for my daughters when they were, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. You know what I did? I hired a lifeguard. I hired a lifeguard to walk around with those lifeguard floaty things. And there was just no issue. And there was one kid that was flopping around, a little bit of trouble, and the lifeguard jumped in. Not that it would have been a big, huge deal, but jumped right in. Because it can be dangerous. Oh, the other thing I want to point out is look at your insurance policy at home. And if someone gets hurt, some kid drowns as a result of you renting out the pool, what do you think your insurance company is going to say? No, thank you. So, you know what Swimply did? Very smart of them to do it. They have their own insurance policy. If someone rents out a pool and some kid gets hurt, drowns, then the insurance policy will pay off up to $1 million. Now, there are neighbors around. The other issue is how much noise these things make. Again, have you ever gone to or held a swim party with a bunch of kids? Yeah, it gets pretty loud. And you've got parking, and you've got the noise, and you have the neighbors going crazy. And so it is going to, what's going to happen? Well, Chevy Chase is considering literally asking the county to just outlaw these rentals altogether. Because they don't want to, these folks don't want their neighborhoods to become business centers. And that's what happens. And there are a couple of instances where kids have drowned through the Swimply app. Last June, there was a 7-year-old that was drowned. And it still is under internal investigation by Swimply. And Swimply says that they even implemented some changes for safety purposes. For example, the company instructs hosts on basic safety measures when they sign up for the app, but does not give specific safety instructions. Bottom line, here's a new one. Rent out your pool. Makes sense? It's a couple of extra dollars. So what? A kid drowns once in a while? Small price to pay. Mark Thompson, Marla Tellez, in for Gary and Shannon. This is KFI AM 640 Live, everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You've been listening to The Bill Handel Show. Catch my show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., and anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.